We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Roto-Grinders NBA Morning Grind. I'm Justin Carlucci alongside of the Chief, Will Priest, and we're back at him, Will. What's going on, man? How are you tonight?
Nothing much, man. Definitely glad to be on with you again. This is going to be fun, taking it back. The Bubble Brothers, 2 days back-to-back. I think we're going to be 2 days back-to-back all the rest of this month. So the Bubble Brothers will be on Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Every week. It's going to be fun, man.
Looking forward to it. It's been a crazy night in the NBA. We got a full slate to talk about for Friday. We're getting to that point of the year where some teams are shutting some guys down or one thing or another. And the team, we're almost at the point where you're talking about on yesterday's pod that the teams and they have more incentive to win. Like, we're going to see rotations get more compact and things like that. If you missed our GPP food of the day yesterday, we talked dessert. I can't wait to see what Will has for me at the end of today's podcast, but we will get there when we get there. We got a lot of basketball to talk about. Just real quick on some Thursday stuff, we got some games wrapping up. Detroit blew out the Wizards. Listen, I said maybe a blowout. Didn't have it that way, though. Wow, they won by 29 points, something like that. And, the Hornets had a tough one with Brooklyn, and it could be kind of a low-scoring night with some of these studs that are in blowout. I mean, what's your analysis from what you've seen so far from Thursday night, Will?
Yeah, man, definitely was some blowouts. You know where my headspace is right now. For those of you that don't know, I've been chasing a qualifier, and I'm trying to avoid even, the possibility of looking at my phone, looking at the screen. And I'll just have to tell you guys about that on Monday. If for some reason, we were able to grab a seat, I will, inform all the people that listen to us every day. But the blowouts, man, they were huge. And at this point, I just got to be honest with where I'm sitting. I got to root for blowouts in Denver and this Clippers game and possibly the Miami game as well, because if those games get tied or, a couple other players, have big games, it's definitely going to cost me. So I guess I'm being a little selfish here, but I want the seat, and it'd be nice to be able to take it down.
Hey, man, you can be the nicest guy in the world, but on DFS streets, you got to go for the kill shot. That's what it's all about. The top 1% make money every night. The rake is ridiculous. I was looking at these. I wanted to join some late MLB contests today before lock. I was kind of behind the eight ball, and I was like, man, there are just no decent these late tournaments DK was putting out were just junk. And I ended up just playing some three-man stuff for the most part. I mean,
yeah.
But hey, super busy week here. You know, MLB is back. It was good to watch some baseball live. But hey, we're here to cover the NBA. You made a good call. Cleveland didn't stick with Philly tonight. That game is final, another 20-point game. Listen, the whole stud point guard conversation we had, tricky slate with the blowouts. The Atlanta game is a 6-point game in the third quarter, but Trae Young is absolutely wet in the bed. So it looks like I was still wrong there. But we did talk about that DeAndre Hunter news, and Bogey Bogdanovich is absolutely crushing it. I'm sure he I'm not gonna tell you what he's doing. I would just imagine on FanDuel he carried significant ownership. I didn't play FanDuel. That's the only spoiler I'm gonna give you. So
I've got Bogdanovich and Capella. So
okay, we are suspicious about where our lineup stands sometimes, folks. I know you guys all have your quirks too. I'd love to hear them. What do you guys do when your lineups are doing well or not doing well? For me, I kind of like open my score app on CBS. I just go through the individual games and see if I'm playing single entry and see what my guys are up to. I don't know. I'm a weirdo, I guess. But anyway, we will stop talking about Thursday. Good luck to you, Chief, in your Q hunting here. And we'll talk about Friday because we have a ton of games. A couple teams are on a back-to-back. One of them is Golden State. They are the lone 7 o'clock game Eastern time on Friday, Chief. And they're going to be playing the Raptors. We already know Kyle Lowry is out. So Golden State, I talked about how much I love that pace-up spot. Is this where you go back to the well with any of these Raptors? We talked about how much Siakam kind of ticks off everybody when he's in a lot of smash spots and he doesn't deliver. But, you know, are you targeting Raptors? Would that be kind of one of your initial optimal looks, you know, looking at this game and what's going on?
Well, I mean, I definitely think Fred VanVleet is going to be big time in play here. Once again, if you guys haven't figured it out yet, I'll try to cover, you know, FanDuel, and, you know, Luch will cover DK, but he's 7,400 on FanDuel again after a monstrosity of a performance. So I think he's a guy that we can for sure go back to the well on. And you got to think he's going to have elevated ownership because it's the first game of the night, right? So, you know, just a little tidbit, these early big-time values always carry more ownership than the late guys. It's just how it works. You know, the field is always wanting instant gratification. So the best values of the night that are early, people don't want to wait. They plug them in right now. And I'm not saying that's bad or good. I'm saying it's just the reality of it. So Fred VanVleet, I think he's big time. You know, OG Anunoby has been going berserk here when he gets the minutes. So I think he's in play as well. And I think we can go back to Pascal. I'm not going to write him off for one game. It's just he's a guy I don't get right as much. But the encouraging thing was he played 37 minutes in a tight game with OKC. So I think, you know, if he's going to play 37 minutes again, 9 times out of 10 with no Kyle Lowry, you got to think that he's going to have a big game. I think the one thing that surprised people was I think people were ready to write off Gary Trent in this offense because he had two bad games, but now he squeezed out two good games. I had a pretty good portion of Gary Trent the other night in my MME build, and he went off for pretty much a 40 piece. Not saying that that's going to repeat, but I think people will maybe be a little bit more encouraged to play him now that he's had two good games. And we'll just kind of see what happens there.
Yeah, good point. I was going to mention Gary Trent, and I think a big thing for him to kind of validate his status is that Rodney Hood is out on Friday.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and he's out again.
And you know what? I mean, Hood had the hot hand the last game. Maybe, you know, that's a reason why Pascal didn't get as many opportunities as we've seen. I mean, Trent shot the ball 22 times. I don't have to look. Even without Lillard, I'm sure there was only a handful of games where he probably had 22 field goal attempts. So the fact that VanVleet was on the court, Siakam was on the court, Boucher played in spurts, and there's still room for Trent to fire 22 shots. I mean, that's big time. The thing is, you might be looking at a scoring dependent guy. He had 2 rebounds, no assists. So the ball's got to start going in. But I like that in this Golden State spot because there's going to be some transition opportunities. You'd think of the previous game play against Detroit, he played 38 minutes, shot 15 times, which is perfectly fine at a guy who's priced 5,600 on DK. 32 DraftKings points. I think Gary Trent is definitely squarely in play. And, you know, people are going to see sticker shock on OG Anunoby for sure. But he kind of reminds me of a DFS player like Miles Turner, because Turner just has these games where he has a ton of stocks and you're like, there's no way he's going to hit value unless he has 6 stocks and a steal. And he goes out there and does it sometimes. I know we talked about game log hunting, but in a positive way, OG is just a defensive mogul. You look at his game log. Last 10 games, he has at least a block or a steal in any of them. And in 9 of the 10, he has multiple blocks and steals combined. So you're going to get those bonus points. And I love it even more as long as it's fairly competitive and a fast game where the ball is just moving right up and down. If anything, obviously, Golden State will pace up Toronto here, which bodes even better for those Raptors players. So, you know, OG 6,800, you know, his scoring is consistently in the teens or low 20s. He's playing mega minutes. He's got to be – I got to check the rotations, but just by looking, he's got to be playing some small ball five stuff. Nick Nurse did that at the end of last season in the bubble.
Yeah, he's been playing power forward. Yeah, he's been playing small forward stuff for sure.
Nick Nurse hates Chris
Boucher. I mean small ball big man for sure.
He hates Boucher. Nurse hates Boucher. He's came out and say he doesn't like him playing at the five, that he gets bodied all the time. Aaron Baines is a sack of potatoes, so you got to run OG out there. I mean, God. I think
so. First of all, free Chris Boucher. You don't want him in Toronto. Please send him to Charlotte. We gladly take Chris Boucher right now on this roster. We'd send you Bismack Biyombo back in a hurry. Straight up.
Straight up. Who says no, right?
Correct.
Yeah, man. I'm with you. I don't agree with Nick Nurse. What do I know? That guy's like a champion. Yeah, what do we know, right? But
right.
Boucher, you talk about untapped potential there. We've seen what the guy could do. I mean,
yep.
Come on, man. So what did he play? I just want to look Boucher up and we'll move on. 19 minutes last game without Kyle Lowry. You know, Aaron Baines is terrible. Can't even play. Nick Nurse can't play him 20 minutes. Come on.
Let me say this before we move on. On FanDuel, Stephen Curry, 9K. This is fantastic. Like, this is a guy that can put up 60 in a game. And in this spot, Toronto's not playing great. Their defense hasn't been spectacular. Like, these are the kind of games I want a guy like Curry in, and we can get him for 9K. Sign me up.
Does the second leg of a back-to-back worry you at all, just for conversation's sake?
Nah, not at 9K.
Not at 9K. I'm with you. And it is an early game, so we should know news. 9,700 on DK, I think he's more of a appealing tournament. You know, that extra $700, people are like, well, I don't know. But in the tournament mindset, you're like, yeah, let's go overweight on Curry and in a spot like that. I know I talked about it against Miami, and maybe or maybe not it's going to work out, but it's kind of the same, you know, same situation here. So I like that call. I like that call. Total side note, I can't wait to see Klay Thompson play basketball again. The NBA is just better when Klay Thompson is out there doing his thing. So,
and so are the Warriors.
So are the Warriors. Absolutely. All right. We'll move on. Covered some ground there. 7:30. Two games of 7:30. Houston and Boston. You know, a couple months ago, we'd probably be circling this on our schedule saying, you know, here we go, Harden and the Celtics. I don't have a game total yet, but I know Boston, it looks like they're 9.5-point favorites. So let me flip over to that Houston-Boston game. And it looks like John Wall has a questionable tag. You know, he's missed some time. They're doing the whole load management thing here or there. Eric Gordon's out. You know, Daniel Tice is gone on the other side. Tristan Thompson is out. So I'm not – this isn't like the clamp down Boston, you know, hardcore Brad Stevens defense we've seen the last couple of years that was pretty stingy in terms of yielding fantasy points. I mean, we saw the work Porzingis was putting again inside against Boston the other night. So I'm really not too intimidated here. I mean, 8,400 Christian Wood, I think that's kind of an interesting GPP spot, especially if John Wall's out and Wood is in. Then we're talking about a ton of usage opportunities here. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind. What are you seeing in this Boston-Houston matchup, Chiefs?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think with Houston, if John Wall is out, you know, you kind of want to go back to the well on guys like Kevin Porter, like Christian Wood, because – you know, if the game is tight, it's because of those two. I feel like that's where most of the production is going to come from. Yeah, Sterling Brown's going to play some minutes and be out there. And yeah, Daniel House is going to play and be out there. Yeah, Jayshon Tate is going to play and be out there. And he's a guy I don't hate because his minutes are stable. But, you know, I want him more when Christian Wood is out of the game. When Christian Wood is in, and especially now that they have Kelly Olynyk. Kelly Olynyk's playing minutes too. I can't trust Tate as much as I've trusted him in the past. You know, if you want to kind of look here, I mean, man, Kelly Olynyk, you know, could this be a little mini revenge? You know, used to be in Boston, went to Miami. Now he's in Houston. Not going to worry about that too much. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think the main guys for me are definitely going to be Kevin Porter and Christian Wood, you know, going against these Boston Celtics for sure.
Olynyk is averaging well over a point per minute in three games with Houston. Yeah, Christian Wood did miss some of that action, which is big. But even last game against Brooklyn, he had 26 DK points in 25 minutes. And then the game, I believe the Memphis game, I think Wood missed. Let me double check here. I could be wrong. Yes, he missed the Memphis game and Olynyk went absolutely nuts. And in those two games, Olynyk's 0 for 7 for 3, too. So if he hits a shot or two, now basically I'm interested in Wood if Wall's out. And if Wood's out, then no questions asked. I'm going to have a lot of Kelly Olynyk exposure. He's 5,400 on DK, which I think is fair, but he's going to be locked into a major role. I know Wall has the questionable tag, but with the way they've been operating, there's almost 50-50 odds that maybe Wall plays and maybe Wood sits at this point. We just don't know what their goals are. They're not going anywhere this season. Want to keep their, you know, if Wall and Wood are even in their future plans at this point, I would hope so because I like them two together, but who knows? So definitely some injury-dependent news there that could really change things on this slate, I think, Chief.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, honestly, I'm waiting for at some point for Wall to just kind of be ruled out and maybe Christian Wood. And Christian Wood's young. But maybe they just say, hey, you know, we're going to keep Christian Wood. We'll have him next season, kind of rule him out. And then let's get some Tate, Martin, and Porter Jr. action almost every night. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, Martin could ball. I like watching him play. You know, we're getting up there, you know. I can't believe Kenyon Martin. I think the New Jersey Nets, I think, beast on the boards, shot blocker. And now, you know, I was like, man, I mean, okay. I'm not super old, 31 now, but that was one of them where I'm like, damn. The other one I saw was in the NFL draft class. I'm like, Asante Samuel Jr. Wasn't Asante Samuel just playing? I'm like, man. So, yeah, I mean, there's good genes in that Martin family. And we saw a couple weeks ago when Martin was getting run, the kid could play. And now he's down at 3,600. So if you can get ahead of the herd one of these nights and play him where he's not going to be mega chalk, you know, more power to you.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. All right, we got a lot of ground to cover yet. We have another 7:30 game. Yeah.
And I will say this. I know we didn't talk much about Boston, but I'm not really too interested in Boston in this spot. I do think Boston handles business here. I still think they're better than Houston. Robert Williams, I mean, he's supposed to be back. I don't think he's going to get 32 minutes every game, but in this spot, if he gets 27 minutes, which is probably about where he'll land, this could be a major upside game for him in an up-tempo spot.
I agree. I mean, as long as Thompson's out, he's going to be a candidate to see a lot of run. He's seen more court time than he probably ever has consistently in his career. Another guy who averages almost two blocks a game, you're like, well, but when he gets the run, those two blocks could turn into three or four on a given night. And he's your prototype GPP candidate because he's right at that price point where it's like, well, in DK, he's 6,700. You're like, wow, how much upside does he have? But you know, if he went for 50 on a night where he played 30 plus minutes and he has a mega, you know, blocks game, something like that, I wouldn't be completely shocked. But you're right. When Boston's healthy, they got Marcus Smart back. Kemba's playing as of now, all their main threats are playing. It's hard to figure out where the ball's going to go. Kind of like Miami now when they're all healthy. It's like, well, they're all healing, but how do you really know where to go?
And Dragic didn't even play tonight and they were still loaded.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah,
good call there. All right, Mavs in New York. We can look there. Obviously, it goes without saying the same couple of guys on these teams are in play every night. You know, the top end guys. Porzingis actually went down a couple hundred dollars on DK, so kind of interested there in a little contrarian look. I was all about him the other night against Boston, and you know, he had 42.5. He had like 20 FanDuel points in the first quarter. I thought we were going to see a ceiling game here, but he's playing really well lately. But the big thing here is on the Knicks side. I know you want to touch on it. RJ Barrett's questionable. D Rose is questionable. What does that mean for the rest of these Knicks?
Well, everybody already knows on FanDuel where these guys are priced really low. I mean, we've got Elf Payton at 4,500. You know, if he plays 30 minutes in this spot because Rose is out and Barrett's out, he should be able to get there. You'll probably have a little bit more quickly in his spot as well. Not more than my good friend Alec Burks, who will probably play 35 minutes if Rose and Barrett sits. Like, he's going to be a prime time play on FanDuel. He's going to be, if he were to sit in this spot against Dallas, if Barrett doesn't play and Rose is out, Alec Burks is going to be borderline lock button for me in this spot. Borderline lock button, because it's going to be bombs away. And they're going to need his scoring. When the guy gets run, he produces. So they'll need his scoring. And then same thing, you know, with Mitch Robb out for the year now, or at least out for now. I think he's out for the year. And Nerlens Noel kind of back playing, and they're running Taj Gibson. Now we're getting Julius Randle. He played 40 minutes against Minnesota, put up 45 fantasy points. But still, like, this guy is going to be a little bit more involved if Barrett's out for his playmaking. So at 8,900 on FanDuel in this spot, against Dallas, Randle and Burks are going to be two of my favorites alongside Elf Payton, because I think that would surely solidify Elf Payton getting 30 minutes with no Rose and no Barrett.
I couldn't believe the other night I had Elf Payton at under 1% in my GPPs. I know the Rose news was kind of late, but he was at the same price point on DK as was on FanDuel. I'm curious to see if the public has time to figure it out if we get that news early, you know. Otherwise, you know, there are 7:30 games, so that's tough.
I think we'll have the news.
Yeah, hopefully. Tom Thibodeau with this team is hilarious, because we have Derrick Rose, who's been under injury management for how long. And when he's been healthy this year, we've seen him play 30-plus consistently under Tibbs, which is cool. But the beautiful thing is definitely Julius Randle's breakout year, and plays a lot of point forward. And you're right. You know, I like Randle a lot more with Rose off the court. And you never know what Noel, he's a good candidate to pick up a couple fouls in a couple minutes right away. And before you know it, Randle's playing stretch five and things like that. Yeah. What's the price tag on Alec Burks on FanDuel, Chief? What do you got over there?
5,600.
Gotcha. He's 58 on DK.
So I'm telling you, on FanDuel, he's borderline a lock button. But the caveat is RJ and Rose have to be out. If both are out, I'm telling you, he's borderline a lock button. Like, he may in fact be a lock button. I just like to wait a day early, because we may get some other earth shattering news that might be a little bit more important.
And it's not like Dallas plays elite defense. Let's not,
They do not. I've been attacking Dallas all year. Yes,
they might play slow, but they don't play defense. So yes. One or the other. Listen, not everybody is the Kings and the Blazers, who are an anomaly. The Kings played a decent pace and are terrible defensively. And, you know, it take what you can get, you know. So obviously, you know, keep an eye on that injury news on the Knicks side of the ball. And you know what? Noel at 5K. I know people are looking at the game log kind of at a dud against Carl Towns in a close game. But, he plays 30 minutes at 5K on DK. You could do a lot worse. You know, he's always a candidate to get a couple blocks, steals, things like that. And I think that's an interesting spot for him as well. So Knicks news, integral. Anything else on this game, or should we move on?
Good to go, man.
All right, talk to me, whether you want to or not, about the Hornets. They play at 8 against the Pacers on the road. You know, we were talking Rozier and all these things, and the game was just a blowout. So, you know, Indy's not a delightful matchup to target either. But, you know, you still look at the Hornets, and without LaMelo, these guys are just going to be in usage bump situations. The first thing I think of, we talked about PJ Washington. You know, played 26 minutes in a blowout. So maybe he was on track to see 30 plus, which I think is good. I think he's an interesting tournament option, because everybody, we just talked about Miles Turner blocking all these shots. I don't know if blocking shots always correlates to being good defensively, because there were a lot of games this year where Indy gets thrashed inside and on the glass. So I'm intrigued by PJ Washington in this game. You know, there are a lot of options here. Malik Monk actually went down in price on DK. He did leave the game Thursday with a foot injury. So if Monk is out, I mean, we're talking even more of a usage hike for some of these guys we're looking at. So although this game on paper and the game total might be low and you're like, well, I don't really know about this game, if Malik Monk's out too, you know, we look at those guys who are usage guys on Charlotte, I wouldn't mind having a little more exposure than I usually would in this matchup if we don't see Malik Monk play on Friday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if Malik Monk is out, Terry Rozier solidified. Devontae Graham, he's 6K now, but, you know, he only played 20 minutes. I mean, I would expect him to go for 30 plus. You know, I talked about not wanting to play Gordon Hayward. He would probably be in play here, especially if Sabonis is out, PJ Washington. I think Charlotte would have a really condensed rotation. It'd be all the guys we talked about, Rozier, Devontae Graham, Gordon Hayward, PJ Washington, and then one of, you know, Cody Zeller and Biombo, like, and maybe both will play a little bit. But then you get Miles Bridges coming off the bench. You would probably play about 30 minutes in that spot, right? You get him, and then you'd also probably have one of the Martin twins, probably Cody, play a few around 20 minutes as well. So I think that's what the rotation will look like in Charlotte. And in fact, I don't think I'm pretty. I watch the team a lot. That's about what the rotation will be. Those will be the main pieces that you want to get exposure to.
On the other side of the ball, questionable tag next to the highest priced Pacer, Sabonis.
Oh boy.
That could change everything. We could go from a game that won't carry a ton of ownership to a game that could carry some of the highest ownership. Big usage guy. You know, when he's off the court, I'm pulling up the numbers now. The addition of LeVert kind of complicates going back to the well with some of these other guys. But Brogdon on DK is at a very fair price point of 7K flat. You know, LeVert obviously looks healthy, and a great story that he's back playing ball and healthy. And Miles Turner, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here. Charlotte gets smacked inside sometimes.
Yeah.
So can you?
Well, not sometimes. I mean, we saw what LaMarcus Aldridge was able to accomplish from a fantasy perspective in this last game. So I'm with you, man. Miles Turner is going to be in play, bro. Seriously. So,
What do you think in that side of the ball? Let's say Sabonis is out. On DK, LeVert's 7,100, and Brogdon's right there, 7K. Turner, 6K, very fair on DK with his blocks upside. And I guess even McConnell might see a little more burn, who's been.
I think one of two things will happen, in my opinion. Either they go small ball and they start Doug McDermott, and so they run like Brogdon, LeVert, McDermott, Holiday, and Turner. They do something like that, or Jakar Sampson gets more run at the four. I think those are the two options. But either way, McDermott's going to see near 30 minutes if Sabonis is off the court. Either way.
3,800 DK against Charlotte for McDermott. That's his price. No offense. The whole against Charlotte thing wasn't a slight to your Hornets, but good match.
Because right now we're in the playoffs and they're not. So I'm not, exactly. No offense taken.
You know, 3,800 McDermott, he was injured for a few games, working his minutes back up. He's playing good ball. I mean, I don't want to say McDermott was like not labeled a bust for the first couple of years he got in the league, but he's found a really nice niche with his Pacers team. And when he's, you know, he's had this opportunity with TJ Warren out, he balls out, man.
He puts the ball in the hoop. He's always been Dougie McBuckets, even back when he was at Creighton. I mean, the dude was just – oh, my God. Honestly, I think Doug McDermott was probably one of the best college basketball players of the most recent generation, like, because he played so long. Like, he was able to – I mean, he was a stud in college, man, a stud.
Creighton was no joke, absolutely no joke. They could have used him this year, though. yeah, I'm just looking at – court IQ, all right? And I just took Warren and Sabonis off the court. So, obviously, there's some other factors in – you know, LeVert, you know, hasn't played a ton with both of them off the court yet. But I'm looking at Miles Turner. He gets a 7.3% usage bump this year, according to Court IQ, without TJ Warren and Sabonis. Let me just say that one more time. Without TJ Warren and Sabonis, 7% bump for a guy that isn't super offensive, you know, you don't think of him as an offensive monster, is pretty big. Wow, that even has 30 minutes of Oladipo on the sample size, too. I didn't even take him off the list. But that's over 300 minutes. With that 7% usage increase, up to a respectable 24.5%. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking at Miles Turner. If we get some Sabonis news, I think there'll be a lot of Pacers in play, and that game will for sure, now I'm looking at it, carry a hell of a lot of ownership if the right news breaks.
Yeah, for sure.
Got anything else on that one, Chief, or should we keep going?
No, I'm good, man.
All right, once again, check out Roto Grinders. Busy time of the year for us. Cover every sport, premium packages. You get a bunch of great live shows before lock. Everybody does their thing. The beautiful thing about RG is the contents, you know, is the shows, the media, the podcast, everything is kind of spaced out throughout the day. So whenever you have free time or downtime, whether it's Blender in the morning or, you know, you listen to us whenever you listen to Stevie, all right, throw on Crunch Time before lock so you're not missing anything. I love what we do, Chief, man. It's humbling to kind of be in this position. We hope all you guys enjoy what we got to say. And, yeah, you know, it's great stuff.
For sure.
Get on over there to Roto Grinders. I promise I won't tell you to play Trae Young again as much as I did last night. My bad. Minnesota and Memphis, 8 p.m. tip. Well, you know, it goes without saying, unless you're new to DFS, that you can target players against Minnesota because, quite frankly, they just don't play defense. So, you know, thus being said, a lot of the same injuries that Memphis has been dealing with. Grayson Allen's questionable. Looks like Winslow is out. Justice Winslow will sit out Friday. Mm-hmm. And let's see here. Who am I missing? I thought I saw something else about somebody. Anyway, there's going to be some Grizzlies in play. And for me, I think Ja on DK is very fairly priced. Pretty high game total here. Two of the last four games, Moran has gone for over 50 DKP. He has been inconsistent at times this year, sure. Really encouraging to see him ball out against Utah. 36 real points, taking 18 shots. So, and Utah is a team I generally don't like targeting against, like most people. So that is good for me to see. So I love Ja at 7,600 on DK. That's my first reaction to seeing this game, Chief. What's up with you?
Yeah, man, for sure. I think Ja Morant is big time in play. He's 6,800 on FanDuel. The crazy part about it is he just put up a 50 spot, and he's playing Minnesota. That's just a recipe for high ownership in this spot. Because he's probably, in terms of median projections, he's probably going to project for around 38 to 40 fantasy points without any tinkering coming into this spot because of the up-tempo pace of the game and the bad defense. So either way, he's still in play, though. I like the price. I think Jonas Valanciunas is in play here. This is a spot where, you know, and we've kind of seen it. If he gets 30-plus minutes, typically he's going for 40-plus. So I like this spot, you know, where Karl Anthony Towns is going to play massive minutes. And perhaps because of Towns, his minutes get bumped into the low 30s. He's not going to play 35 minutes, but 32 minutes for JV is a gold mine. So I'm really excited. Hopefully we can get him there. Obviously, Kyle Anderson has some upside, but we don't ever know when we're going to see it. But as I always say, if you want to see the upside, you play him in spots like this. So I don't like the price on Kyle Anderson at 5,900, but this definitely is an upside spot. So maybe you take a flyer on him. And same thing for Dylan Brooks. You know, it's just a spot where this is where you take the flyers in these types of up-tempo matchups. And if they come through for you, you look like a genius at the end of the night.
You talk about free Chris Boucher. I'll talk about free Joe Valanciunas, only averaging 25 minutes a game this year, although he has seen some uptick. Brandon Clark will be back, though. That was kind of probably a nice little couple minutes boost for him, for Valanciunas, the last couple games. But I'm looking at Valanciunas. He's taken at least 14 shots in the last five games, which is really good to see. He's averaging 12.5 rebounds a game this season. But since mid-March, I mean, since we came back from the break, Chief, he's playing like he's possessed. These are his rebounding numbers. 17, 12, 16, 15, and those were all in 27 minutes or less. 19 in 34 minutes, 15 in 26 minutes, 18 rebounds in 28 minutes, 11 boards in 21 minutes, 15 in 32 minutes, and then 14 in 32 minutes against Rudy Gobert. So really, I mean, Valanciunas is just playing elite basketball right now. He's shooting at a very high percentage. I just want to see this guy play 35 minutes one time, man, because and he's 7,700, so on a loaded slate, he might not be one of the first guys you're looking at. Karl Towns doesn't play defense. He has a horrible DRPM rating. I'm liking Valanciunas. What's his price tag over there on FanDuel? I'm just curious. What do you
think? Yeah, not much of a difference. We're at 7,600, but I still like it. I mean, look, I would accept – and so here's – I always think I would accept 45 fantasy points for 7,600 every day. Gladly. Absolutely. So, you know, I think, you know, you project them in the 40s and let it ride.
And Karl Anthony Towns has been playing great too. Seeing mega minutes. Saw 40 minutes against the Knicks. Saw 39 against Brooklyn. which is great to see. And he's been playing well too. So I'm curious to see the ownership and where it goes at center. The thing is, it's not like Towns is cheap. He's 10-1 on DK. And, you know, we got 10 games on a slate where Luka, Giannis, you know, even Curry are on it. So I feel like maybe Towns will be a third or fourth fiddle there, you know, in terms of who people are going to play on DK, where you have so much position flexibility. What are your thoughts on Towns?
Yeah, I don't really want to play Towns on the slate just because of the price. He's 10-8. And while, you know, while his production has definitely warranted these prices, this is the Karl Anthony Towns we kind of saw at the beginning of last year when he opened up the season. He came in like a madman. But I don't think I'm going to do it. I think Jaden McDaniels is going to be in play, man. His minutes have really, you know, his minutes are in the mid to high 30s now. And so in this spot, he's 4,600 on FanDuel. He's going to be a great value play on this slate. I like the fact they're just kind of giving him minutes, giving him, you know, the keys to the power forward spot and letting him roll. And then same thing for Anthony Edwards. Now he's 7,800 on FanDuel. But I mean, he's dialed up the upside from game to game. I do think he's kind of capped though, like at 7,800. I like what he's doing in real life, but from a fantasy perspective at 7,800, I need him to be getting in that 45 to 50 range. And while he has done it sporadically, I still don't think I need to play Anthony Edwards on this slate.
This is like one of the rare occurrences where his pricing is more aggressive on FanDuel. On DK, he's just 7-1. So I like him a lot more at 7-1.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's a big difference.
Huge. I will say, last game he played, he had 44.5. He had 4 stocks and 3 steals. In the game before that, he had 43. He had 3 steals and a block. You know, I'm looking at the games before that. He had 1 steal in the previous 4 games. So, but, you know, when you see a ton of minutes and you play in a decent matchup, you know, funnier things have happened. So, definitely in play at 7,100 on DK. Maybe not as much on FanDuel. But if you play him, I get it. You know, I get it for sure. Definitely be a little bit more contrarian on FanDuel, I'm assuming, at that price and, you know, what's available over there, shooting guard. It does look like Brandon Clark will be back, though. Love the McDaniels call. Ton of minutes. 4,900 DK. He could be probably one of the popular cheaper pieces if Sabonis does play and doesn't open up McDermott and some other things like that. So definitely like the McDaniels call. Good to see him playing well and getting a ton of minutes that he deserves. Anything else, Chief, this game?
No, man. And when we get this next game, I think this is going to be a quick one too.
I think you're right. I mean, the big thing here is, I mean, Malik Beasley has been back and McDaniels is still seeing that burn. And, which is good for him. And, you know, Edwards is still seeing mega run too. So it looks like they are both here to stay in the rotation. So we kind of have a better idea of what's going on there. We'll move on here. 9 o'clock tip off Chicago and Utah. And I guess we'll have to wait and see what's up with the Chicago backcourt with Coby White and Zach LaVine, who are both questionable. And, you know, even in a tough matchup against Utah, you know, that would open up the door for someone like Thomas Satoransky, who typically plays well with minutes. He is 4,800 on DK, but he's hit over 5 times value against Phoenix and, you know, went for over 6 times value against Golden State. So big news there, you know. I think the wild card here is probably Vooch. I mean, we know he was going up against Gobert, but, you know, he's kind of hasn't really lost a beat. He's 9K flat on DK. So I am mildly interested in Vooch on a big slate, probably more of just an ownership thing. It was a late game. If LaVine and Coby White don't play, I think he'll be a low-owned guy with a, you know, 55-point ceiling, even though he's against Gobert. I mean, he's going to get a ton of usage against Utah, so I think that's interesting. It's like the perfect storm. He's in maybe the toughest defensive matchup of the league, but for me, you know, if I can get serious leverage on him going maybe 3 or 4 times the field with an elite opportunity without LaVine and Coby White, I'm interested in Vucevic, and that's not something I thought I would have said an hour and a half ago before I started looking at everything here, Chief.
Yeah, I get it, man. And listen, I'm going to let you have that take. I'm not touching this game with a 10-foot pole. I don't care what news comes out. I will say this. If Donovan Mitchell's out, then obviously I think Clarkson and Conley are back in play. But, you know, other than that, I don't want to touch this game, man. This one's going to be a pass for me for sure.
Yeah, and I get it. I'm talking large field GPP stuff for Vooss, because as good as Vooss is and some of these other guys for Chicago have been playing well, like I said yesterday, we don't want to label games a blowout, but if you're missing LaVine and Kobe White, you're starting backcourt. Yeah, you know, Utah at home, there's a chance that could be ugly. So totally get it if you don't want to play that. We got four more good games to cover, so we can kind of leave Utah and Chicago in the back burner here for time purposes. If you want to hop on over to Atlanta and New Orleans, you know, we could talk about them. 9 o'clock tip off. Two teams that are playing on the second leg of back to back. They played Thursday night. So here we are, and it looks like Zion's out. What kind of Pelicans news you got over there right now? I'm not sure.
I think this one is all about what happens with Zion, Ingram, Ball, not Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter. Is he going to be out again? Like that, John Collins, that's what this feels like to me. So, and I think John Collins is still going to be out. So I think Capella is still being played, but this game is all news dependent, man. So I'll try to cover it that way. If these guys from, New Orleans are out again, then obviously you're going to have value. You're going to have access to James Johnson at the minimum price on FanDuel. You'll have access to, N'Keal Walker-Alexander and Josh Hart, who have good prices. You'll have access to Eric Bledsoe. And then on the other side, obviously, I think Capella's going to be in play no matter what because Collins is out. But if DeAndre Hunter is out again, you'll have access to Danilo Gallinari. You'll have access to Bogdan Bogdanovic again. And that's kind of the way I'm going to try to treat this game. It's all news dependent. And, if I don't get the news in time, then, I'll have to make some decisions because it is a 9 o'clock game. So hopefully we get the news earlier in the day and that way we can be informed.
Yeah, we would be fortunate to get that news. And let me correct myself. Zion is, he has an out tag on DK, but it looks like he's still actually questionable. So keep an eye on that. And, we didn't expect Brandon Ingram to miss Thursday, did we? I mean, we really didn't hear anything the previous night. So that was kind of a surprise,
That was a shocker, for sure.
Listen, I'm not going to tell you. I know you're cue hunting, and I don't want to tell you a lot of things. I'm not going to tell you a lot of things. But I got to tell you one thing, just one thing. New Orleans is in overtime right now against Orlando, which is interesting. And
oh, gosh.
I'm just saying, for purposes of this Friday podcast, so they were missing Ingram, right? Zion and Ball. And Ball. They ran an eight-man rotation. So if you see those guys miss again, at least you kind of have a blueprint of what's going on. James Johnson, Min Price will probably be mega chalk if we get early news.
I'm not sure
what he played tonight, but he played a lot. So go back and look. James Johnson, Sheeves, 3K flat. Come on, guys. Come on, DK Algo. Maybe the intern did the pricing. I don't know. Like, they look-
Perhaps.
But, yeah, man, that's going to be the Friday night wrench with the 9 o'clock news. And, it's just if you're going out to a movie, social distancing, of course, or doing whatever, you better sneak out and go to the bathroom and check your phone if you don't have service in that movie theater because you're going to need this news because it's going to be integral. Two teams that don't like to play defense no matter who's on the court.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, man. And, of course, Josh Hart, like I said, always has that random 15-rebound game once in a while. Oh, he had 15 against Boston. Maybe that's why I'm saying it. He's actually had 15 boards in two of the last four games, Josh Hart.
Yeah.
Crazy. So, integral game there. Want to move on to Portland, Milwaukee? We go with that?
Let's do it.
All right. We got Dame and Giannis. And McCollum's back. Bobby Portis has a questionable tag. It looks like PJ Tucker is out, which I think he missed the previous game they played too. So that's pretty much it. Looks pretty clean as of now otherwise. So we know Portland doesn't play defense, Chief. If there's any way this thing's close, there's so much news that needs to break. So it's not even fair to me to ask you, what do you think Giannis' ownership is going to be? But that being said, Giannis hasn't went for 50 since it's been almost 2 weeks since we saw 50 plus DK points out of Giannis. He's in a great bounce back spot if this game's remotely closed on Friday, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and they're probably going to stick Bob Covington on him, and nothing against Bob Covington, but Listen, I think Giannis is going to be fine. And here's the thing. What we're doing, and hear me out, Luch, because I always like to try to make sure I separate this. We're looking at his fantasy scores, and in our minds, we're telling ourselves, man, Giannis has been playing terrible. Listen, against the Lakers, he had 25-10, 4 assists, 3 blocks. He did have 9 turnovers. That was awful. Oof. But in the game against the Clippers, he only put up 44 fantasy points, but he had 32-6-3. In real life, this is what they pay him to do. They pay him to be the man, score the ball. He's been doing that. Now, you know, obviously he did have these rough games against Boston, didn't play against New York. But the last two games, even though from a fantasy perspective, he didn't quite get there, in real life, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. So I think in this spot, you know, we take him. Obviously, you know, we want the triple-double. We want the big 60-point game, and that's what we're looking for. And you just got to take him in the spots where he can get it done. And I think in this spot, for sure, he's capable.
Oh, he's capable. And you're right. He's playing good basketball. It's just not always translating over to DK's. I think a big thing here, Chief, is Drew Holiday really coming around, shooting the ball a lot, taking some shots away. He's rebounding. He's diming. You know, Giannis is a little bit less of a playmaker. Drew playing good basketball is taking a little bit less of that load off his back, which is great for the Bucks.
That's what they needed, though. Like, this is what they needed if they wanted to make a playoff run. The ball cannot be in Giannis's hands. They need someone that can get to the cup, that can distribute, that can make teams pay if you're going to back off of them. And not that Giannis isn't going to get there. Like, Giannis has been working. Like, that's the thing I appreciate about him. He's not one of these guys that's just like, oh, I'm not going to work on my craft. Like, you can tell he's been putting in work. But Drew Holiday, you know, I always felt like he was the key to whatever type of a playoff run they were going to have. And I think that's proving dividends. I think the emergence of Dante DiVincenzo is helping them, taking the load off Chris Middleton. Even though Chris Middleton has the big contract, he doesn't have to be the only shooter anymore. And so I think with DiVincenzo starting and bringing Connaughton off the bench playing almost 30 minutes, I think that's helping this team for their playoff run in the future. So I like what they're doing. You know, currently in terms of how they're using these guys. And when Bobby Portis comes back, it's only going to help that bench even more. So, you know, look out. Milwaukee could be, you know, getting primed for a pretty good run, especially if Drew Holiday keeps playing the way he's playing.
No, I agree. And Giannis could take over any game he wants and fill up the DK and break a DK slate. You know, if he gets pissed off enough, he'll do it. He could take over against Portland. He could put up, you know, a historical stat line against those Blazers. There's really nobody in the NBA that could stick him. And let alone it's not going to be Bob Covington. No offense, Bob Cov. But that being said, I like Holiday as a tournament target because, especially after this news breaks, he is point guard, shooting guard eligible. So we have that flexibility on DK. But you look at this slate. You have Luka. You know, you even have some people play Dame. You know, Trae Young in a good matchup. Fred Van Fleet is going to be extremely popular. We already know that. If John Wall plays, he's in play. You know, John Moran will probably be very popular against Minnesota. So it's like, is Holiday going to be one to kind of just get lost in the sauce for lack of a better term? If Middleton, if everybody plays as they should for Milwaukee, I mean, we could see a guy who just went for 47-56 on back-to-back nights, but people will kind of look back and he has a 64 in that game log. Don't game log, Hunt, but he has a 64 on it. He's just playing good basketball. And yeah, I there's a chance that maybe he's not as popular as he should be after some news breaks and at a pretty loaded slate. I like that a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And DiVincenzo is another guy I've played sparingly or occasionally rather in the right spot. And I do think this is the right spot. Now he's 5,300. Obviously I think there's going to be better value, but if you're in large field, especially on FanDuel where he's 53, I think taking some shots on DiVincenzo is huge because he's also a guy that can put up 40 in the right game environment.
Couldn't agree more. That should be a fun one. If it's close, we could see a lot of DFS goodness and fantasy point production out of that one. So that's a 10 o'clock tip. There's two other 10 o'clock tips, and then we'll get out of here. But we'll cover the Lakers and Sacramento. Listen, man, it was a quick debut for Andre Drummond, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
I don't know how long he's going to be out. What I do know is he won't be playing on Friday. Neither will AD or LeBron, which squarely puts Montrezl Harrell back in the thick of things in a plus-plus-plus matchup against the Kings. That's just my initial thought. I'm going to try not to overthink this thing. He's fairly priced. You know, he's 6,600 against the Kings. And his price tag was in the mid-sevens a week ago. And that's just a testament to the level of basketball he's been playing, Chief. Talk to me here.
Yeah, he's still in the mid-sevens on FanDuel, and that also does not mean that you shouldn't play him because he could definitely put up 40 in a spot. Markieff Morris is 4,800 on FanDuel. He's going to be back squarely in play. And his minutes weren't really affected that much anyway, but, you know, Drummond definitely was going to impact the game, I think, if he would have played 30 minutes, rebounding, scoring. I think it would have changed the dynamics of the team. That also opened it up for Kyle Kuzma. That will open up a little bit more for Schroeder. So, and Schroeder's 8K on FanDuel. I don't like that price at all. I don't feel good about it. Not that he can't go for 40-plus, but now he has to go for 40-plus. And so I'm not really, really interested in him. Kuzma, 7,200. I think most of these Lakers are going to get lost in the shuffle, even though they're playing Sacramento. And it's just more of a price thing than a, you know, actual game script thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at Dennis Schroeder, 7,100 here. And, you know, that's kind of my thoughts too. If there is value that opens up, you know, you'll see more stars and scrubs-ish being more of the popular builds, which means your Jrue Holidays and your 7,100 Dennis Schroeders that don't tip off till 10 o'clock and maybe even your Montrezl Harrells on DK might get a discounted ownership on Friday. So Schroeder's been playing phenomenal basketball without those studs and without Drummond. It'll kind of go right back to the way it was. So I'm in for some of these GPP calls here. If I do two or three builds or something like that, I might even throw a little stack on this game, you know, a little 2-1, something like that. So got to love the late push too. It doesn't mean anything, but you love that 10 o'clock late weekend push when you're climbing up the leaderboard. I hate being on top and just falling and falling and falling.
Oh, that's why I didn't want to talk about this seat already, because it's like, man, the last time, you know, I checked before we went on the pod and I saw, so what ended up happening, I saw the earnings and I said, I said, I might be doing pretty good. And I scrolled down and saw where I was. And I said, let me just get out of here. And it really wasn't I'm not crazy superstitious per se, but it's just one of those things where I don't want to be thinking about it. I got a pod coming up. I'll check after we get off. But still, man, it's sometimes just good to not know you were in first for a good period of time, because then you don't have that feeling of regret or regrets.
No, I'm with you. Everyone loves the late push. Before we get on to the last game, I'm just want to check out Dennis Schroeder metrics over the last month, because I know they're damn good. I just want to look them up again and share them. So over the last 4 weeks without LeBron, AD, and of course Drummond, you know, Schroeder 1.11 DK points per minute. You know, the thing is, he's going to play 35 minutes now. He's a plus matchup, 27% usage without those guys. So I think he's even been playing a little bit better the last kind of 2 weeks, and I'll bring that up. I would guarantee you this point per minute rate is definitely higher, although it would be less minutes. So I'm just curious at the sample, and let's see. Yeah. Okay, there we go. 228 minutes over the last 2 weeks, 1.17 DK points per minute, and the same 27% usage. The team leader in usage over the last 2 to 4 weeks, and a great matchup. But I don't think he's exactly going to pop on any projections. You know, no one's going to be super touting locked in as Schroeder in because of all the options. So I kind of like it in even more for bigger field GPPs, Chief.
Yeah, I mean, at 7,100 on DK, that's fair. At 8K on FanDuel, I can't do it.
You might need like a 3 or 4 steal game, which he's capable of, but it would kind of suck knowing you're banking on something like that, unless he goes nuclear, right? Which could.
Right.
The outcome isn't super likely, but anything else on the Lake show and Sacramento, or should we cap this thing off with OKC Phoenix?
We're good, man. Let's roll it on.
All right. Chris Paul revenge game. Just throwing it out there. You take any stock into that?
I don't really like this game. I mean, OKC is decimated. Phoenix, come on. You guys are like, I think you're second in. I'm pretty sure Phoenix is second in the West. Yeah, just don't take this team for granted. Go ahead and beat this team and go home, right? Like, I don't see why this game stays close. Phoenix is a better team, clearly. Just take care of business and go home and see your family.
Enjoy the weekend, says Chief. He'll see you later. I just had to look this up. Oh, man, you're not going to like this. Chris Paul had a season-high 32 against OKC when they played in January. He shot 21 times.
So. Yeah. Did Devin Booker play that game?
That's a good question. Let's take
it. Because remember, Booker was out a little bit, and Chris Paul was going nuclear.
Where's our guy, Alan Lem, when we're talking narratives? We got to bring him on a pod and just do some narratives one day.
Yeah.
Fun. Good call. Booker didn't play, and DeAndre Ayton took 7 shots that game. Ayton's been frustrating this year, you know, ever since that stupid game in the bubble where he missed his COVID test or something, and they had to rush him to the court, and the DFS Twitter world was like, oh, DeAndre Ayton's on the way to the game, guys, and he played terrible. It's just he's having a rough year, man. I don't know, is it a weird fit with all, you know, with Paul coming in? And I just figured the pick and roll game would benefit him, if anything, but this hasn't been the case so far.
Yeah, it's, you know, they've got an interesting little team, and so
they're good.
I really don't know what's happening, because I haven't watched enough Phoenix film to kind of say what's going on there. But what I can tell you is, you know, Chris Paul has made a huge difference in this team. Monty Williams has made a huge difference in this team, and they've definitely carried over their bubble mentality into this season, and it's showing and reflecting in their record.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, I mean, Phoenix, they play good D. They play relatively slow. They're not fun to target against, just for all DFS purposes. Wow, that was pretty good time, and we covered a lot of ground. I think we hit a lot of big points. Anything else, you know, that we missed or what we're kind of going through here that you want to bring up?
Nah, I'm good, man. I definitely think we covered it. I think we found a lot of good little nuggets in there, and hopefully we can help you guys, you know, make some money.
For sure. We talking some food? Or what do you got?
Man, it's always GPP food of the day when it comes down to the bubble, brother. So today, hear me out, Lutz. Let's talk about Korean barbecue. Listen, if you haven't found your place where you can get you some Korean barbecue, you need to find one. So I don't know, you know, where you can go and get some, but you know, down here we just have like barbecue places. But I did want to say Korean barbecue, man, it's a good little thing. I mean, and you might be able to get like I guess what I would call kind of a fake version at your local Chinese restaurant, but just look up Korean barbecue in your area. Trust me, people, you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, that's a good niche, you know. Get some sticky wings on top of a million other.
Oh, man.
For sure, man. Yeah. You know, where I'm living right now, I'm in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of Amish country here. So Korean barbecue isn't great, but I do go to Brooklyn from time to time, and I get to eat some, you know, it's one of the foodie capitals of the world, which is great. There's a place in Fort Greene called Wuri Korean. I used to live with my uncle for a bit a couple of years ago on Carlton Ave in Brooklyn, if anybody's out there in the city. And Wuri Korean, man, that's a good spot right there, Myrtle Ave in Fort Greene. We could talk barbecue for days, you know. Maybe we'll bring some we talked barbecue a little bit in the past, but there's so many barbecue spots in the world. I don't know about you, but I could eat barbecue like my life depended on it.
Yeah, and that's why I brought up Korea, man. Like, you know, we got a local spot here. That's why I didn't give you the name. I mean, I will give you the name. It's called 843 Korean Barbecue and Sushi House, but that's just our area code because we live in Charleston. And so you're not going to get 843 Korean Barbecue in, you know, Pennsylvania or New York. That's why I said you just got to find it on your own. Yeah, but man, I'm telling you, it's a really good spin on a cultural iconic food that we already love.
Yeah.
Korean barbecue, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that might be kind of like a niche food that a lot of people are just have some stupid stigma against, or it wouldn't be on their top priority. But let me tell you, the food is banging. What are they saying now? It hits different. Is that what?
Yeah, it hits different. It hits different.
Well, you gave us 2 good GPP food options. I'll come with the heat on Sunday. I'll think of a good one when we record Sunday night. For Monday's NBA Roto Grinders Mortar and Grind, where the Chief and I will be back together breaking down Monday's action for you. Busy weekend, though, Chief. What do you got going on in DFS world? And what do you got in the real world? What's going on this weekend? What you be doing?
I'm just kind of going to be chilling, man. Main thing is I want to follow baseball so I can kind of get my edge pretty quickly. And I'm just really hoping, ladies and gentlemen, that I don't have the disappointment of despair when I open up my little app after we get off the pod. I would like to go ahead and get this qualifier seat, because if not, I'll be continuing to chase a little bit.
We will regroup on Monday. Check the Chief out on Twitter, Chief Justice 06. Until again, we'll meet again on Monday, my friend. I hope you have a good weekend. Any final words for this weekend pod conclusion?
We're good, man. Enjoy your families, everybody, and we'll be back next week.
Definitely, definitely. Feel free to reach out to me on Twitter anytime at the J Carlucci. Let us know what you want to hear. Give us some GPP food options. Give us some NBA content to talk about. We'll answer any questions you guys have. So until Monday, we're going to take a weekend hiatus on the NBA Morning Grind here. For Will Priester, I'm Justin Carlucci. We'll catch you next week, everyone.